across the Brooklyn Bridge. Lots of people carrying LED candles and chanting. And we walked by the Verizon building, a huge kind of windowless building, to see these giant projections that were on the building. The artist that was responsible for these huge projections, they've been called the bat signal?
Yes, the bat signal of the 99% or Occupy Wall Street. Yeah, because in Batman apparently has this projection that shows his logo, and it shows when he's out and about. I don't know much about it, but
so there was this sort of the bat signal of the 99% on the Verizon building, visible from the Brooklyn Bridge, where people were walking. And Mark Reed, we've got Mark Reed on the line, who was behind the projections. Mark, are you there with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
Hi, Mark. Mark is a WGXE programmer. He's the host of the monthly show To Be Determined, which airs on the second Sunday of every month from 6 to 8 p.m.
Along with yourself, Sarah Kendall.
Along with me. We're co-hosts. So Mark is a regular contributor to 90.7 FM, but this was the Bat Signal project is a little bit different. So since we're in the radio and it's a listening medium, could you describe what the project was? Can you describe what the piece was for people who didn't see it?
Sure. Well, it's really interesting for a whole lot of reasons, but you know, we wanted to have some kind of unifying, galvanizing spectacle to end this day of intense action. Some of it very forceful and resolute down in the financial district in the morning. There were a lot of arrests and a lot of clashes with the police, and we didn't want that to be the only news story that got out there about the day. We also kind of wanted to close the day with, like I said, a kind of festival of light was the way we were thinking about it. And, you know, because 2 months of, you know, for 2 months, Occupy Movement, or the Occupy Movement, has been shining a light on the problems in our society, in political and economic system. So we wanted to kind of literally shine a light, and here we have this opportunity. We're going to cross the Brooklyn Bridge, and here's this giant corporate monolith, you know. It's a windowless expanse about 75 feet wide and very low ambient light, the kind of ideal projection screen if you can get into a building and project from it. So in the shadow of this corporate monolith are a bunch of city housing, a bunch of, you know, what people sometimes refer to as projects, you know, working class, which means working poor these days. They pretty much are the same thing, so... working people in the shadow of this corporate monolith right next to the Brooklyn Bridge, looks like we got to throw a bat signal up on that building. So that's what we did. It's like I said, it's about a 75-foot wide expanse, the building itself, and it goes up, I don't know how many stories, like 40 or 50 stories. And we were projecting probably about to the 20th story. The building that we were in was about 17 stories tall, and we were in the 16-story window of a bedroom window of Denise Vega, who is a FedEx worker, single mother of three, was born and raised in those houses. And she initially responded to a sign that I put up, you know, offering $250 to rent someone's apartment for an art project for a few hours on Thursday, which wasn't entirely dishonest, of course. But I got a few calls, and none of them really seemed to be making any sense, and I was kind of going to figure I was going to start stalking the building or something ridiculous. And I wound up getting a call from Denise, and she was, you know, lucid and clear. And I was like, okay, well, it didn't actually sound in her description like her windows were on the side of the building that we needed them to be on. But she was the first kind of, she was the most together person I'd spoken with, and she was on the 16th floor. So I figured I'd go over there and meet her, and maybe she'd introduce me to her neighbors. But her bedroom window faced right there. It was, like 130 feet away. And I paced it off. It's about 130, 135 feet away from the building. And, you know, called some people I knew with after meeting with her, you know, and she was down for it. And I explained to her what we were doing, and she was, you know, incredibly enthused. I mean, she had been following the news and knew all about Occupy Wall Street and the 99% and, you know, identified clearly with that. And so her last words to me as I left that day were, let's do this thing, in this sort of conspiratorial tone, which you know, really heartening. And then the sort of other things happened, like the occupation got evicted, you know, as we all know, on Tuesday in the wee hours, you know, midnight, basically. So, are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Sorry.
We're captivated.
In the wake of that eviction, it was a crazy day that day on Tuesday, and I was sort of running up to you going with anything else. And I was trying to get Denise her money, and I was having a hard time getting, you know, meeting up with the finance committee because everything was in such disarray. The General Assembly, the Occupy Wall Street's finance committee, finance working group. So I was trying to do all that, and then I finally got on the phone with Denise around 9 o'clock, and she said, you know, I can't take any money for this. This is for the people. You know, I can't take any money for that. So that just kind of, you know, really kind of blew me away, particularly on that day, I guess. You know, it was like in the wake of that kind of an awful day in a lot of ways. So we, you know, loaded in about 4 o'clock in Brooklyn and you know, had to wade through all that traffic and got it all set up within 20 minutes in sort of this crazy jerry-rigged, like, system with the gaffer tape and a broomstick and the post office box and, like, just sort of leaned it up and out this tiny, sort of kind of a small window, and tested it a couple times, and it looked perfect, and it was really bright. It's a 12,000 lumen projection. I mean, it's about as bright as a projection can be, and people were, I mean, I've gotten reports that people were on the Brooklyn Promenade, and this is in Brooklyn Heights. It's a very long distance from where we're projecting, and that they could see it from there.
And so you had tested the...
You could see it clear as day from Brooklyn Bridge Park on the other side of the East River. And there's a, you know, the story is, you know, it's kind of gone viral. I mean, there's a lot of just helicopter footage that's been sort of blasted around YouTube. And, I don't know what more to say. It was just pretty amazing. And, you know, Denise Vega and her family were all there. Like, her sisters were there and her daughters were there, and they were just cheering us on. And, you know, the cops were... We had another projection team on a roof, on an adjacent roof. They were going to do even more projections above us, but they were on a roof with a generator, and they were actually chased off the roof by the police for trespassing, and the police were below us in the building. They were pointing up at our window. They clearly knew we were there, and they knew where we were, and they couldn't come in because we were in a private residence, and still we were like... You know, it was feeling like we were surrounded by sharks, you know, where there's a sense that, you know, there's sharks circling around the building, and, you know, what do we do if they knock on the door? And Denise and her sisters were awesome. They were like, yeah, if they come at the door, we're just going to tell them we don't know what they're talking about. We're not going to let them in. They need a warrant to come in.
Is
the door.
Is there, Matt, Mark?
Super brave and you know, fully with us, you know, really. I think that was by far the coolest thing about it for me. And also, you know, hearing the crowd, I had this idea that people would mic check. You know, they would actually respond and interact with the words that were being projected. Didn't know if that would happen for sure, though. So we made like a little loop that have "We are the 99%," and we like made it to the cadence of that chant. We, you know, are 99%. You know, like we did the visual to that rhythm. And people started chanting along to it, and once they did that, I knew we kind of had them. So we did a mic check, and we got them all to say a statement that I'd written the night before, and I don't know. It just kind of went on and on for an hour, and then we packed up and rolled away with no problems.
So we've got a couple of questions here, Mark.
What about the words you projected, like... look around the world. You are a part of a global uprising. What do those kind of like represent? What's behind those words?
Well, we are part of a global uprising. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've all noticed that, I'm sure. It's just astonishing that, you know, there are occupations. When we went to actually, one of the things we did too, one of the things we projected, we had the word occupy, and then underneath it, started with Wall Street, and then Oakland, and then Detroit, then Boston. We had, I don't know how many cities, eventually, and it sped up, and it got faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster, and faster, and then it went Earth. It was really cool. That was not my idea. That was this guy, Max Nova. That was his, he's the one who did all the graphics work and we kind of collaborated the night before on Wednesday night. We did that. And when we looked for cities, we went to look for cities to put on there, and we went to occupytogether.net, and we know both of us, and we're like, oh, my God, it really is everywhere. It's like, really, it really is everywhere. It's not even like a metaphor. I mean, it's like every town in America. It's everywhere. And so we are part of a global uprising. I feel that very clearly. And I think we are a cry from the heart of the world. I mean, I think we're facing a kind of, we're facing these crises now, political crises, economic crises, and environmental crises that, you know, feel cataclysmic. And or, you know, the scale of them is just feels at times immense, you know, the scale of the crisis that we face. And our so-called leaders are doing nothing of the scale that needs to be done to address these crises. And humanity is rising up as this voice to demand that we actually address these crises. Democratically, you know, which isn't what we have been doing. We don't have a democracy, and we haven't had one maybe ever. And people want it, you know, and they're hungry for it, and hungry to, I think, address the solution, you know, to address these problems with real solutions, real radical solutions, like real transformative change. And that's just incredibly optimistic.
Mark, do you know if what you were doing was illegal, or is it actually okay and legal to project on the side of a
road? It's legal to do that. It's not this like arcane broadcasting rules where we can't advertise on another person's property. They could have given us, I think, some kind of ticket. They could have given us a ticket. In fact, we had some co-collaborators down at the foot of the bridge that were projecting 99% onto like City Hall. And they were doing these other projections. They were originally supposed to actually be on the bridge, projecting onto the architecture of the bridge, but they didn't get onto the bridge. So they were doing it onto City Hall, and, which was cool, actually. But they got ticketed. They got fines, which I'm sure Occupy Wall Street will pay. we can back them up on that. But so there is some gray area as to the legality, but the police didn't bother us one bit.
Another thing, I heard you are going on the Rachel Maddow show tonight.
Yeah, I am. I'm basically going to tell her what I just told you, I guess. I was hoping that Denise Vega would be able to come on this, but she's down in Atlantic City. She's having a party down in Atlantic City, so she may join us by phone. But.
I have a question, Mark. I've heard you talk on here with the Yes Men. Before. Was that you? Was that you who did that interview?
I don't think I did. I think it was you and Greg. When you
oh, that was
Mike.
Greg. Well, okay. Well, so my my question has to do with, I'm sort of curious to hear you talk about, there's all this conversation on Wall Street about diversity of tactics, about all the different ways to, all of the different tools that you can use to make change happen. This one I think it struck people as really powerful, not only because it was like huge and bright, but also because there was kind of humor to it. It was this kind of spectacle, and it was a different kind of spectacle than the police spectacles that have happened. And I'd be kind of curious to hear you talk about this like kind of thinking about this as a tactic and performance and what in politics is.
Yeah, it's funny, actually, because I had to go before the General Assembly to get some funding for this whole thing, which is a process, believe me. So I had to get up there in front of the General Assembly on a Saturday night last week and explain to them what I was doing and why I wanted $2,450.
Could you explain just quickly what the...
power inverters for the battery-operated mobile projection units for the bridge and for lots of LED lights and stuff like that. And it was interesting. Most people, of course, were really supportive, but there were concerns raised or, you know, why this is a waste of money. Why are we spending money on these? It seems cool, but it doesn't seem like it's really, you know, why it's a waste of money. We need to be spending the money trying to, like, create real change and doing real organizing work. This isn't really going to do anything. It's just going to be a pretty show. And the only way I could respond was like, you know, well, some of us believe that art and spectacle inspire more people and draw more people into the movement. And if we want a broad-based movement, which is the only way that we're going to be able to make the kind of change we want to see, then, you know, art and culture and spectacle are a really powerful way to inspire and to draw people into it, you know, to be it's kind of spectacular, you know, to do something that's sort of just, you know, poetic and beautiful. And people want to be a part of that, you know, people want to identify with, oh, I'm part of the crew that did that. Like, I'm down with that, you know. I think that's really important. I mean, I think you got to do stuff like that.
It seems like there were not only that, there was also then this, like, this piece of your story about how it ended up happening with that had to do with encounter also, that it brought you actually into someone's home in kind of an intimate way.
Yeah, for real. And into a building that I probably wouldn't be, you know, that I wouldn't be going into otherwise. And just this sort of the way in which, like I was saying, like there's this little bitty building. It's like this seven. It's dwarfed. I mean, to the visual of it is like the building, the tenement building, which is 17 stories high, is dwarfed by like this gigantic gray, you know, obelisk. You know, it's this massive corporate, you know, windowless logo, and just that's they live in the shadow of that. This like, you know, serious, you know, poverty right in the shadow of this thing. So it very much felt like, you know, David swung a stone, you know, at Goliath. I mean, that's what it, you know, felt like too.
Yeah. Like how it's so gray and like uniform, that kind of sense. And then the thing is so unique. Yeah.
You know, when I was growing up, we could see that building out of my window, and we called it the refrigerator building because we thought it was a giant refrigerator. We didn't know. But I also, it made me think yesterday about, it made me think about the last, like, light spectacle or light performance that I experienced down in that same neighborhood was the, after September 11th, those light beams that were the two towers of light that they put, and I remember kind of stumbling into that too. During one of their first tests, they rose these two beams of light where the towers were, and we thought I was growing up in that neighborhood, and we thought it was like aliens. Thought it was aliens coming, but it does seem actually like a kind of an interesting. We're in the 10-year anniversary of 9/11. It does seem like a kind of interesting paired set of performances about what kinds of conversations are being broadcast via light there. You want to speak to that at all?
You know, I mean, I definitely feel a lot of people have been talking about the sort of these bookend moments of the Trade Towers falling and then this sort of this uprising beginning, you know. And the fact that they're in these bookends to this decade is really, it's interesting. Don't know quite what to make of it. I actually kind of liked those light towers.
Oh, yeah. They were beautiful.
I actually kind of liked them. And I think that would have been a fitting memorial, this huge thing that they're building. I guess the jury's out, but maybe I just like projections. Maybe I just have a thing for them. I don't know.
Do you have anything planned next?
No, I have nothing planned. I think I'm going to get a massage.
Well, thank you for joining us, Mark. Jack, do you have any other questions?
No, not really.
You have any parting words of wisdom?
No, just, you know, have heart. Take heart in what's happening and keep on organizing.
Well, thank you for joining us, Mark. We'll watch you on Rachel Maddow tonight.
Okay, thanks.